This episode was proudly brought to you by Be Parent Surrogacy. Head to BeParentSurrogacy.com to learn more.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love, is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
I never thought I would leave the U.S. I mean, people thought we were crazy when we moved from like the north to the south in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But every time I told them we're moving to Spain, it's like they, oh, that's my dream. Take me with you.
Hey, 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 y'all. Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I am Jamie, your gay host. And this is the show, as you know, that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA plus families in all of our fabulous identities. And when I say fabulous, I really mean it. In this episode, I got to sit down with TJ, and we talked about the hetero life he built, the life that unraveled from it, I think you know where that's going, and the brave, beautiful life he created on the other side of it. It is such a good conversation. We get into coming out after marriage, co-parenting with his ex, raising a transgender daughter, and the very, very real reasons why his family chose to leave the U.S. for a new life in Spain. Yeah, you're all going to want to lean in real close to this one because I know many of us have thought about leaving the U.S. in these days. Many of us. Take a listen because this is a conversation about identity, reinvention, safety, and what it means to finally build a life that fits. It's so sweet and lovely, and you're going to love it. And before I roll the tape, or before Helen and Beulah roll the tape, I got to talk to y'all about the fish saga that continues to brew in our house. Now, if you listened last week to my intro, you know that I recently tried to upgrade our fish tank. We had two goldfish that my son had won at a fair last summer, and they were thriving. But everybody kept telling me, oh, goldfish need a bigger tank. Goldfish need a bigger tank. So I had finally made the move. We upgraded to a 20-gallon tank. We moved the fish. They died the next morning. Devastating. We were in mourning all day. Told you that story in the last intro. So go listen. It's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. So then this past weekend, we got new fish. We got different kinds of fish. We got a school of fish. It was beautiful. It was amazing. They were gorgeous. We named them. I made a social media story all about it. My son was so excited. Oh, we were in heaven. Woke up the next morning, y'all. Woke up the next morning and most of them had died. I kid you not. It was like a fish tank morgue in there. There were fish lying on the trees. I mean, devastating. I don't know what is happening. And I talked to the people at the pet store about it, in the aquarium section, and they tested my water both times. And they're like, everything looks right. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why. Lord, the saga continues. And losing these little fish is killing me. I'm like a fish serial killer at this point. I feel so terrible, and I love every single one of them. Oh, so I've done a lot more reading. We're getting new fish this weekend. This is breaking my heart, but we still have a couple of little catfish that are thriving. They're making it. So I'm hoping it was just a fluke. We're going to get new fish. I'm going to keep you updated. But this is family life right here. And we have to have a burial for the fish this coming weekend too. The pet store gives us a refund on the fish if they die within the first 2 weeks, but I have to bring the fish in. And I said, well, my son wants to bury them. What do I do? And they're like, okay, you can just take a picture because if you bring them in, we have to take them and we have to like deal with them the way we're supposed to deal with them. But we need to do a burial. We need to do a proper burial. These were members of our family, for criminy's sake. Oh my God, this is so depressing. All right, so that's what's happening on the home front. Hug your babies tight, even the little swimmy ones, even them. Hug them, hug everyone tight and give everyone your love right now. And soon we will have a lovely, thriving aquarium and lots of little fishy angels watching over us and sending us love. God, you can't make this. You can't make it up. Parent life, am I right? Okay, let's get into TJ's story because it's going to give you good feels. Going to give you good feels after I just broke your hearts with my fish story. Don't think I'm a bad person. I'm really trying with these fish. Don't judge me for it. I almost didn't tell my friends because they felt like I'm such a failure and like I did these fish wrong. I really loved them. Okay, anyway, let's get to the Helen, Beulah, stop watching the catfish. They're okay right now. They're okay. We're going to make this work. Let's roll this tape. Here we go. Rolling the tape. Let's do it.
Lord.
Queer Family Podcast.
All right, folks. If you know anything about my family, you would know that we are big campers. Like, big. We love to camp. Very lesbian of us, I know. And every year we camp with our chosen family, our lesbian friends. They're the kids, the dog. It's a whole thing. And we have been saying forever that we're going to rent an RV and actually tour part of the country together. And I genuinely think 2026 might be the year. And here's why. I am so excited about Outdoorsy. It is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the U.S. And it makes renting an RV shockingly easy. You don't have to own one. You just search for a rig that fits your crew. You book it with built-in insurance and 24/7 roadside assistance. And then you go. Like, so fun. And listen, y'all, I'm so excited about this. An RV isn't just transportation. It's how you stay closer to the action. So you don't have to do any sold-out hotels, no inflated prices for the campsite, no long commutes from some random motel 45 minutes away. You can get closer to the beach. You can get closer to the trailhead. You can get closer to the festival, the game, whatever, wherever you're headed. You can drive it yourself, or you can just tow it, or even have it, you can even have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. So cool. So you can turn the drive into the vacation. So fun, like a lesbian dream. I kid you not. Or you can just show up and start relaxing at the campsite or wherever it is, by the river. I don't know. Like, sky's the limit. If 2026, y'all, is your big road trip year, go check it out. And here is the really fun part. If you use promo code QUEERFAM, you're going to get all the service fees removed from your booking in 2026. That's promo code QUEERFAM, QUEERFAM, at outdoorsy.com. Go make that road trip or camping or whatever it is happen. I'll see you on the road, y'all.
Love is love.
Hi, TJ.
Hello, Jamie. How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
Doing wonderful, wonderful. Excited to be talking to you and sitting down and going through this.
I'm excited for this too, because you have, the guests will hear, you have done something that I think a lot of us folks in on the queer spectrum have thought about doing in these days and times. So I'm excited to dig into this. So without further ado, TJ, let's just dive right into your 30-second elevator pitch. On your mark. Get set, go.
So I had shrunk myself into the American dream, had the wife, the house, little boy, job, benefits, all of that kind of thing. And now I am living my dream in Spain with my husband, transgender daughter, and being a author, speaker, and a life coach.
Boom, you did it.
That's TJ, me. Look, you did under it. 30 seconds. See that?
I'm impressed. I wasn't sure you were going to be able to do it, to be quite honest. So I'm proud of you. Good job, TJ. Okay, this is amazing. So we have some stuff to dig into for sure. And you have left the States. You have left the States. And
I have.
I think we all know why. So let's dig into your story, TJ. So you fit the American box. You had a wife and a kid. And then what happened, TJ?
And then life comes in and makes it more interesting. And we decided that we were going to move. We ended up moving south to North Carolina and to start our family. A couple months after we had moved there, we were in a rather severe car accident.
Oh.
Well, my parents actually followed the grandchild down to North Carolina. So we were getting them settled into their new home. And as we were driving home, we were sort of forced off the road by a car passing in a no-pass zone. Mm. And I had veered off the road and back on, and we averted the head-on collision. But my car kind of passed over the lines, got hit by the oncoming traffic. My hand broke through the window. My head broke through the window. And I was out of work. I felt like a failure as a father, a failure as a husband, because I couldn't work. I had to cancel all these shows. I was never supposed to get the movement back in my left hand. And in that moment, our life had changed so much in a split second. And I'm getting chills actually thinking about it. When the car hit us and my wife was in the passenger seat, our son at the time was in the back. And I remember sitting, getting us out onto the side of the road. Jen was okay. Baby's okay. I am hurt, pain, glasses broken, can't see out of one of my eyes. And I remember looking up and seeing the stars as best I could without my glasses and just realizing that I can't die now, that I would be leaving my family. And not only that, but I never told my wife that I was gay. Oop. Life comes in, life happens, you know, I'm getting better. And that was always in the back of my mind thinking, you know, I haven't told her, but I'll tell her, you know, that's a conversation for another day.
Your plan was to kind of tell her, but continue living the way you were living?
Yes. So I finally did build up the courage to come out to her, actually after a very big fight with her. And one of our first big fights ever, we were high school sweethearts and grown up together and all of this. And I realized that was the way I could forgive her in this argument, is that I never told her about me, about my feelings, about, and, you know, I finally did and sat down, and that was a difficult conversation.
I can imagine.
But she had looked at me and said, why didn't you tell me sooner? We could have watched gay porn together. She was like, why did you tell me? Was not the reaction I had expected at all. But I felt very validated with it. In fact, she had told me when she first had met me in high school, she thought I was gay, one of my best friends. He turned out to be gay later on in life as well.
Interesting.
So we tried the whole, like, because she said, well, you should go out and try it. And we tried a whole open marriage thing. For years, and I didn't think it was fair if I went out. I said, well, if I could go out, you could go out. And there was, on my part, a lot of jealousy
on your
component
part.
To that, even though I was much more, you know, on the gay side than the straight side. Looking now at my life and looking back at the trajectory, there was much, much more the gay side than the straight side. We stayed together for quite some time thereafter. And, you know, it wasn't until years later that we realized that we started out as friends in high school. We had met doing the play, The Mouse That Roared. And we really should have stayed friends. Now, I'm very thankful we did get together because we have a child together. Yeah. And so we sort of, as people said to us, nobody outside, you know, even our friends, our family didn't really know that we were having kind of marital issues. And it was like people were very surprised when we said that we were going to get a divorce, because it was just, we just both sat down and realized, you know, very no drama, no lawyers, no nothing, saying, you know, we work better as friends. We just realized that it wasn't it.
Yeah.
You know, we were high school sweethearts. We really hadn't dated others or gone out, you know. So it became something that, you know, people said it's like the best divorce they had ever seen.
You know, the happiest typed divorce it up ever, ourselves.
We co-parents with our child. You know, we had it all arranged out. So it worked. It worked.
It worked out. That's
unconventional.
Okay. That's nice to hear.
Different way.
You know, good job. And then you're able to live your truth and still keep the friendship with your ex.
Yes.
which that's like the best of all worlds. That's amazing. That's like what we hope, right?
You know, we still text each other. We're still friends and all that. Our child's now an adult, is 20 years old. Dancing around that, as I said, we do have a transgender child.
Right.
So her name is Opal.
Okay.
So I'm sort of dancing around because at the time with the divorce and all that, there it was
something else. So you're
different
to,
name.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Different gender.
So you have to navigate time, that as you tell the story. Totally, yeah. Understood. Totally get everybody here. Totally understands. The co-parenting is going well. The divorce went as good as can be imagined. And then I'm imagining you ended up finding, I know you ended up finding someone. So you found someone that now you are with.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. We were living in North Carolina, like I said, a little town in North Carolina. So the only way you ever meet any other like gay person is online, and talked a while online. We met. And he was, you know, younger than me. He's 26 now.
Oh.
And I'm 48. So there's a little bit of that age gap thing going on there. I did everything I could to not like him because of the age difference.
Yeah.
I just thought, no, this can't. It's not going to work. He's too young. No. And yet, I just kept coming back to him and coming back to him. And as they say, the rest is history.
You found your person. He happens to be very young, but you found your person.
Well, yeah. The beautiful thing of that is, you know, I said my daughter is 20 years old and Tyler's 26. There's not much of a difference there, but the two of them got along like, you know, my daughter, she has autism as well. Mm-hmm. And so she was big into Minecraft and gaming online and all that. They were just talking about games and Minecraft and on and on and on. And it was like meant to be kind of thing that the two of them get along so well.
That's great.
And to be able to integrate him kind of into our family, and he gets along with my ex-wife and she likes him, and you know, so it just sort of works. I can't explain why it works or how it works, but it works.
Well, you found your person and it's fitting in, and everything's fitting nicely, it sounds like, which is wonderful. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
All right, folks, before we carry on with the episode, I want to take a second to talk about something that came up a lot during Anne and Mai's fertility journey to parenthood. When we started IVF, it was with Anne first. We thought we had a good understanding of what things would cost and what insurance would cover. And halfway through it, when we were in the process of IVF, we found out that we suddenly had to pay about $15,000 out of pocket after we had already started the process and we were ready to do the transfer. So we ended up having to take a loan out to cover it so that we could carry on. That IVF ended up working. Hallelujah. But then when it was my turn to go, we had to do 3 rounds of IVF. And so we had to take another loan out to cover it because insurance was not footing the bill. And then those 3 IVFs didn't even end up working out. Why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you all this because queer family building often comes with a lot of financial surprises, and every single dollar you can save can really, really matter. And that's why I'm super excited to partner with Be Parent Surrogacy. They help guide intended parents through the entire process, from matching with a surrogate to coordinating medical care to navigating the legal steps. So there are fewer unexpected moments along the way. And trust me, you want to do your best to avoid those unexpected moments. They're going to come, but do your best to find the ways to not do it. So if surrogacy or IVF, because they cover that as well, are a part of your path to parenting, you can learn more or schedule a free consultation at beparentsurrogacy.com. Oh, and if you mention the Queer Family Podcast, you're going to get $2,000 off any service you book. So go make those babies and then come tell me about them, because every dollar counts, y'all. Every dollar counts. Mwah. Let's get back to it.
Love is love.
And how did we get to the place where you're leaving the country?
And now we're in Spain.
And now you're in Spain. I'm so jealous. But where? How did we get there? And I would love to hear it all.
I had never been out of the country myself. I had planned trips kind of growing up in New England area. We've planned trips to go to Canada, but they always fell through. So I had never left the country. Things started changing in my mind in 2016.
Yep.
During the first
regime.
When that happened, I mean, I remember waking up that night, going from, like, you know, to me, Hillary Clinton seemed to be like the most qualified individual that has ever existed to be president. I mean, just her background, everything. It's like, it was a no-brainer. And then to have this other guy just come in, and I remember I went into like this protective mode. I mean, I was living in the South.
Yeah.
As a gay guy, I mean, in 2016 too, our divorce just had gone through in 2016. So I'm like feeling my way as being now like a...
You're newly out.
Yeah.
And it's scary territory. Like, coming out is so scary, right? And you're doing it now, and then here comes 45.
And it made me feel like this was not the country I thought it was.
Oh, 100%.
In the U.S., I was terrified to leave the house. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a state of depression. Not only, you know, I was suffering through with the divorce and different things, and there's emotional things there that now my future is not what I pictured it.
Right.
So I was in therapy and on depression medication and all of that stuff. And this added on to it. I just remember it was like a week before I like didn't want to go to Walmart. I didn't want to go out of the house. I would go out of the house to work and come back. And that was it. I didn't want to socialize. It just was.
You're touching on something that I haven't really been able to put into words until I feel like just now. It's kind of like the sense of betrayal you felt from your country. Like that's how, yes, I think many of us feel today and felt when that election happened. The sense of betrayal from the country that we thought was something else. It's still so hard to come to terms, exactly, with the fact that this has come to pass. And there's a betrayal there that I've never actually realized until you just said that. So yeah, the sense of betrayal is deep and really hard to grapple with.
I think that is the perfect word, because it's really when I started thinking, well, this, you know, how could my country vote for this person? Like, how are people really like that? Like, are people, and it really, that those were the beginnings.
That's just the beginning, and now it's so much worse.
The unraveling of the American dream, you know.
It's, yeah.
I'm just realizing it now. That was a big change into what my American dream was. There was, to the difficulty, you know, the job I was in, to, I felt like I was sort of in this dead-end job that I'd have to go back to school if I wanted to continue. So it was really a dismantling of so many aspects of my life. Mm-hmm. Fast forward a little bit. So Opal came out to us as transgender and, you know, all of that, of what that entailed, mm-hmm, adjusting to that. And when leading up to our departure from the U.S., mm-hmm, we were feeling that crunch of just in North Carolina. It was like all the laws in the other states around us, it was just like starting to close in. Opal had a wonderful transgender doctor in Western North Carolina, in Asheville, North Carolina. And she was telling us that how the people in Tennessee, because of all the laws passed there, that they were traveling hours to come across the border to see her, yeah, so they could get their medication or see a doctor just to, you know. Just, and yeah, so it's like we just saw everything starting to like close in around us. Mm-hmm. And it was actually Opal who came up with the idea, said, well, we don't need to stay here in this country, like this other countries that are so much better. And, you know, when I had never really considered it, because it's like, this is my country. I don't want to leave it. But because of 2016 and everything, that building, that, like I said, it really was that dismantling of the American dream, because I was realizing that the job I had, you know, the good benefits and all of that kind of stuff wasn't fulfilling me. Marriage fell apart. Felt like the country's falling apart. Everything's like collapsing around me. And so we started looking, you know, talk about autism. 90%, I guess, of autism comes from the father. So I'm starting to like find my own things that, that autism is like the father's side of the family. And autism doesn't just come out of anywhere. So I'm starting to like see things in myself with that. But I remember sitting down with like pad of paper, pen. We sat down, we all had our phones out, and we're just like researching, okay, where could we go?
What countries are the good ones for us? Yeah.
And we ended up narrowing it down to Malta or Spain. Malta had the great advantage that they speak English there as the primary language. So that was like,
one less thing to learn.
This is great. Right. But the more we were looking, you know, Spain really seemed good. Like Opal had taken Spanish since she was in kindergarten, like all throughout school. So it's like she had a familiarity with it. I took French. My whole concept to get by, you know, I took French in high school and into college. And I said, well, maybe we'll move to like the north of Spain. So we're like right near the border. So it's kind of French-ish. We decided we'd take like 3-week vacation, came out to Spain just to see. The main thing was to see if we could get by without speaking fully the language.
Right.
And we ended up going to this little village like north of Barcelona, this beautiful, right on the beach. It was just so, it's like when we were there, it's just so gorgeous and so beautiful. And the little like shocks of, you know, yes, we're on vacation, but there's already that cultural relaxation of, you know, the first time we went to a restaurant. Now, I've got to tell you that. Opal, being autistic, she, you know, how I felt after I heard the results of the 2016 election and I sort of isolated myself for like a week. As Opal was getting older, getting into, you know, herself as transgender and autistic, she was more and more isolating herself. She was, we ended up, you know, she, when her transition, she went from a kind of small school where she had known everyone to like if it's high school, and she lasted like a week in high school. Like she just was so overwhelmed. And so she, it was right during COVID too. So she had like a year online and then trying to transition back. So we ended up, she was able to do like online schooling for like a year. And then we ended up homeschooling her for the last 2 years. But she was at the point that she wouldn't leave. She'd go to my house. She'd go to her mother's house. She'd go to my parents' house. And that was it. She had that, like, that fear in a way of going out. Is the not only the autism, like, overwhelm, but the transgender thing, being living in the South and all of that. And so to have her in a restaurant was like astounding.
Right. I can imagine. It's like, all right, this is it. We're doing it.
In a restaurant. And I remember taking a picture of her, which she will not be on video and all that, but a picture of her and my mother saying like she cried seeing her granddaughter like out and in public on, you know, public transportation here on the metro, like, she was doing that. And I remember looking at her sitting on the train once, and she just looked so, you know, she's got this beautiful, curly, long, blonde hair. And she was sitting there so poised and so like European. And I was just like, this is, this is her home.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Mm-hmm. we've got to do this. And she really blossomed in Spain that,
wow.
you know, where in the United States, as an autistic individual, she is a, they call level two autism. So she can do a lot, but she'll still need help.
Mm-hmm.
Here, because of the public transportation, because of the walking distance to the grocery store, she can't drive. She could live virtually independent here, as in the United States, her whole life, she always needs services.
Right.
Unless we're moving to like you there in New York City
New York,
or something.
Or but, one of the big cities, yeah. But a big city like New York is not, doesn't sound like it's a good fit for her.
That's the overwhelm of the autism. Right.
Right.
So
right.
We just fell in love with it. We ended up spending like our last 3 days in Madrid visiting my friend. And it's like the difference between Barcelona and Madrid, like Barcelona felt very big city, like a little bit too much. In Madrid, even though it's big city, you know, capital city, there was just something so quaint about it as well that we just fell in love with it and said, you know, we're doing this. We're going to do this. And
yeah.
our goal was to be out of the country before that last election. I felt either way it went, that there would just be like civil unrest and just, it just was not.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
It's not a happy place here.
So there was that difference in my child, instant new person.
Mm-hmm.
But the acceptance of gay people here, and to walk down the street and hold my husband's hand
mm-hmm.
has been tremendous. We never did that in the United States. We did it one time when we went to the Key West.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time. We saw like gay couples holding hands. Not only gay couples holding hands, but there was a lot of like the older gay and the younger gay couples holding hands.
Interesting.
So that was our
around.
First time holding hands
right.
in public. We could never do that in North Carolina. We just never felt, I mean, I'm not a big like public display of affection kind of guy anyway,
mm-hmm.
but holding hands is just, that was something I did with my wife all the time, and I couldn't do that with my husband.
It's funny. My wife and I don't hold hands. Every once in a while, we will. And we're pretty safe where we live. The fact is that you have to be in there are certain places where you know it's probably not a good idea. That's the issue. That's the issue here that we're talking about.
Yes.
Right? The fact that there are places that we know, like there are places, like if we're going to take a trip to Florida, my wife can't wear any of her shirts. We know this already. We're like, what are we going to do? Because all of her shirts are political, right? So it's like, we got to go buy you some new shirts, Anne, because you can't wear them. We have to buy you a new wardrobe for Florida, right? It's these things. That's the issue. That's the freaking issue. And we're safe in New York. We're lucky, but for the most part.
It's the always to the second guessing in how we, and like I said, I've been studying too a lot about autism for myself and all of that. It's very like autism and being gay, transgender, all of that, that it's always the scanning the room
uh-huh.
and realizing, you know, is this safe? Who can I be in this room? How can I be in this room? Do I introduce my husband as my friend, or this is my husband? Here in Spain, it was really a detoxing.
Like a non-issue.
From the United States.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
It was detoxing because everyone we've met here, it's like, I don't even think about it now. I said, this is my husband, Tyler.
Right.
And everybody's fine with it. There's no, you know, when we have multinational friends here from Portugal and France and England and all of that. And it's just like, it's just accepted.
It's interesting because, you know, I feel very safe where I live. I'm in a bubble. I'm in a great bubble and we can totally show up. However, I still do have those moments where like, depending on the person I'm talking to, if they're an older person, I do in my head, if I'm going to talk about Anne, I always think, do I say wife or am I going to say my spouse? Am I going to, who's the audience I'm talking to and how is it going to be taken? And most times I just say wife because I've made it my mission to just like normalize the shit out of it. But it still runs through my head. The fear of maybe they're not going to accept this or they're not going to like my lifestyle, right? So it's true. You're right. You're touching on something that's deep, deep, deep. And I am shocked that Spain is a place that is as accepting as it is, because I think of Spain as a very Catholic country. So I would think that those Catholic values would kind of permeate the way they view our alternative lifestyles, if you will.
Yes. Well, What is fascinating, because the religion here feels different than in the United States.
Like, really?
Of course, in the South, there's you know, it's all Baptists and all of that. And it just feels very different.
Like, in what way?
It's still, like, accepting. It's very much, as I feel it, is the, you know, the true Christian Jesus values of just loving everybody.
Right.
And
go
loving
figure,
your neighbor
how crazy.
And treating people right and all of that. And I have never had anybody here come up to me with any religious propaganda or anything. You do see, you know, in Madrid, you'll see people that do, they'll stand very politely with, you know, there's like little like things set up or something mm-hmm. for religious purpose, but they're not shoving it in your hands. Mm-hmm. They're not even like overly zealous to talk to you. They're just standing there. And if you want it, they're there to talk about it.
We've got those in New York. We've got those. We also have those who bring a microphone onto the subway and scream
right.
hell and damnation. For your entire
yeah,
ride.
That so makes you want to convert to their religion.
Yes. We've got all of that here. But sounds like it's a lot less hell and damnation there and just more live and let live.
What really brought it to a point to us are, so we moved here May of 2024. So it was out of there before the election, even like we voted from here and all of that. Literally the day after Opal graduated from high school, we were on a plane
wow.
flying to Spain. There was our first ever Pride event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Madrid does a huge Pride event, and they've had Pride. I believe, and now don't quote me on that, that like Spain was one of the first countries in Europe to have Pride events and all that. That it's very big in Madrid. It's like a whole week-long celebration. There are stages all over the Pride Parade. It was the first Pride Parade because I had never wanted to go to a Pride Parade in the U.S. because I was scared of the religious
right.
being there and demonstrating and all of that. So I never wanted to go. It was amazing to see. It's like the whole city celebrated it and the whole city came out. We saw, you know, these little grandma and grandpas sitting there watching the parade. There was like these young straight families with their little kids waving pride flags, whoa. Running down the street.
That's how it should
and
be.
It just really felt, yeah, it just felt that we were embraced for who we are. And I never felt that way in the United States. Like I just having that constant, I mean, it's activating the nervous system, right? You're always in that mode, even that little bit when you're thinking like, is it safe to say this is my husband? Is this safe to, and it's like a constant, and that's running our nervous system like that 24/7 isn't healthy.
It's not.
And I felt moving to here, there was also the aspect that, you know, I will go out, especially in the warmer weather. It's cold now, relatively speaking to to you, but
it's freezing.
For here, it's chilly. I'll go out on these my midnight walks, and I'll walk around the city, and it's just so peaceful at night. And I don't have that vigilance that I felt in the United States, that you always have to just be aware of your surroundings, just be, and you see, you know, women here walking alone in the middle of the night, a safer environment, the quieter environment, just the whole aspect. Like I was mentioning our friends, you don't ask someone when you first meet them, like, well, what do you do?
Right.
For a living. It's, you know, who are you? What do you do for fun? I don't know. I think there's one of my friends, I know what he does for a job. The others, I don't know. We've never discussed it. It's never come up. You know?
That's nice.
It's just that different laid back culture. We go out to restaurants or eating later at night, and it's, you know, you don't go to eat for an hour. It's 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. It's an event. It's all about, you know, you're working just enough to make the money you need to live your life, as opposed to the United States mentality of that you are, you know, work is your life.
Right.
And you work for the weekend, and maybe you're you have some energy to go out or do something in the weekend. Maybe not.
Right. Well, you can't afford to go out anymore because everything's too expensive here.
I don't understand how to, like...
It's all a mess.
I just don't...
TJ, it's a mess.
I don't get it.
It's a mess over here. You're giving me a lot of things to think about. And I don't know if there's a single Lijepitikwa person out there who hasn't thought to themselves, I'm going to leave this country. I don't think there's a single one. Even my wife, who is like, no, we're staying here. This is my country. I think she's even actually like contemplate it for real. So you're giving me some, I'm going to go visit Spain. I'm going to see how I feel in Spain. What the
come
hell?
Visit,
what are we
come
doing?
Visit. Why
and
not?
I speak a little Spanish. Let's go. Oh my God.
It is doable. And they have, you know, many different visas of possibilities. We came over on what they call a non-lucrative visa.
Okay.
So one of my many hats, I'm a real estate investor. I have properties in the United States that I rent out.
Oh.
So I'm able to get rental income or, you know, non-lucrative visas a lot of times are for people who are retired that they're mm-hmm. getting. So it's basically that you're not coming over to take a job from somebody that.
So, but I could host my podcast. I could move there.
Yes.
And still host my podcast.
They have digital nomad visas, it's called. So if you're working online and all of that, and of course you can always start a business here and live that way. And of course there, you know, there's work visas as well. They just came out. I don't know what they're calling it. They just came out with a visa that you can come over for a year
mm-hmm.
and you can search for a job during that year. And you just have to show, I forget what it is. They have different standards of you have to show so much money in your savings account or something to
right.
be able to come.
Listen, this has been informative and I'm glad you found a safe space to land. And I'm glad Opal is doing as well as she is. And I wish you all the best. And I'm, you know, keep in touch. Keep me posted. Let me know what kind of mariscos you had the other night. Like, keep
yes.
me posted.
Yes. It's like my dream come true. And I never thought I would leave the U.S. I mean, people thought we were crazy when we moved from like the north to the south in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
But every time I told them we're moving to Spain, it's like, that's my dream. Can
yeah.
take me with you.
So if people want to reach out to you for some help, where should they go?
You could go quantummagicians.com will be the ideal place, or me, TJ Schimmeld, a very unique last name, the Schimeld. You can find me on all the different social media platforms, TJ
okay.
Schimmeld.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally the only one in the world, Thomas J. Nope. Schimmeld.
Okay.
So I'm unique that way.
Yeah,
you are. I can't hide.
No.
You just have to find me.
Yeah. Okay. So if anybody wants to reach out and get your help, they can, and that'll be in the show notes.
Yes. If anyone has any questions about like moving to Spain, that's like obviously a passion of mine too. We have a wonderful lawyer here that helped us renew our visa. We first came for a year and we just renewed for another 2 years. And, you know, we're not going anywhere. We're here.
You're here. You're queer. Get used to it.
That is right. That is right. Yeah. Well, thank you. This has been wonderful. I love, you know, what you're doing with getting more representation out there and all of that. So thank you for doing what you do. And congratulations. I just was seeing that you have another podcast that you've launched.
Oh, I do. I have I launched a new one and it's, so far it's going well. Go check it out. Love Take Two. It's good. It's all about the take twos in life.
Yes.
So I think you know something about that.
Well, and I'm all about second act, so.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That is right.
All right. Thank you so much, TJ.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie. Wonderful.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge thank you to our sponsors of this here episode, Be Parent Surrogacy. Learn more about them. Find the links to their websites in the show notes. Make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in. And I'll see you next time. Mwah.